Welcome to the set of the MyPillow 2.0, the most amazing pillow in history. That new technology is still the MyPillow's patented fill. And now we have new technology we didn't have back when I invented MyPillow that's going to help you sleep. It's absolutely amazing, and you're the first ones that can check it out. Go to MyPillow.com, use the promo code on your screen, and we brought back the buy one, get one free.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
AI is currently the greatest threat to humanity right now.
Oh, yeah.
But, this is the funny part, okay? It's like this big, huge monster coming at us. All we have to do is unplug its access to our data, and it will crumble. It's feeding on our data. It's learning us through our data. The second we cut off the data, it's not going to have any new input, any new things to learn. Mm-hmm. And at that point, it's going to be harder for it to try to be used to control us. So if we really want to go after AI, we actually have to go after big data and protect our privacy. We need to protect our Fourth Amendment right.
On this Friday, February 10th, we're getting ready for the release of Millie Weaver's. I can pretty much guarantee it's going to be a masterpiece. And you're going to see that because I'm going to play the trailer. Mm-hmm. So we're going to formally skip the break and promote Millie Weaver's new documentary that I haven't seen, but I've heard a lot about it. I've talked to her for many months about a lot of the stuff that they've been doing. And her last one was epic.
Yes.
It was epic. Shadowgate was absolutely bombshell. So make sure you get back and check that. And then we'll tell you how you can catch it. I'm going to be excited. I'm going to be watching it. And you'll hear from Millie Weaver how you'll be able to tune into it. Okay. But for right now, let's do this. Oh, that was your official balloon update. Okay. let's do this. Actually, we're going to play Millie Weaver's. Let's go to Millie Weaver's trailer, if we could. And then we'll come back and Millie Weaver will be joining me. Let me get set up with that right now. So here we go. You guys, enjoy this. Millie Weaver is going to be releasing a bombshell. Very well done. If you take a look at the trailer, then she's going to come on and tell you what to expect to see tomorrow night when it gets premiered. Here we go.
I can tell you right now, Pandora's box has opened.
We were warned.
The CIA relies heavily on the NSA's ability to gather vast quantities of email, phone calls.
The CIA's drone program relies heavily on data the NSA provides. That includes phone calls, emails, and other forms of signals intelligence.
But we didn't listen, and now we live in a dystopia.
Like, why would you just use it on potential criminals or enemies of the state or what have you? Well, you could use it on the entire fucking population and make trillions of dollars in advertiser revenue.
With email service providers and social media, we've long been told that if it's free, you're the product. But with the Internet of Things, it seems, even if you pay, you're still the product.
It really goes back to the data. So we have a direct connection with our consumers that provides us with deterministic first-party data. So we utilize that for targeting.
How did we get here? The personal computer, originally designed to raise the intellect of humanity, has been transformed into smart devices designed to raise the intellect of artificial intelligence instead.
This has massive implications for society. Companies are modifying their behavior to ingratiate themselves with those in power. They're changing their slogans and advertisements. They're censoring content. They're firing controversial people. Speak up, you might lose your job because you're bad for the company's ESG score.
Now, it's all about politics and hysteria. What we thought could make us more connected made us more divided. Instead of people using technology for their benefit, technology now uses people for it.
Millie Weaver, you didn't hear that, and thank you for bearing with us. We had a slight technical glitch, but, you know, that's how we roll in independent media. I think you know how excited I am about this documentary film. You know how excited I was with the last one. Things, you know, went a little bit different than this upcoming release, but I'm really, really excited to see the next one, because we've been talking on and off for the past couple of months, the technology that's upon us. I mean, even since Shadowgate, Millie, and I'll let you speak to what we're going to see tomorrow night, but look at the technological advances since Shadowgate alone, just within that time frame.
Right. It's moving at rapid pace. I mean, so big data is watching you, which is kind of like a knockoff for Big Brother, right? Big Brother's watching you. Well, this is big data is watching you, because really a technocratic prison is being built around us. And many of us are unaware of what's happening right now on social media. So we're unknowingly walking into a trap and really actually feeding the AI systems, feeding the big data systems that are now later down the road going to be used to potentially enslave us, potentially control us, and could be used to create massive vulnerabilities. Most people don't realize that your devices are spying on you. Okay, so your smart devices at your home, your TVs, your smart TVs, cell phones, computers, all of those devices are capable of listening to your audio conversations when you're speaking near your devices. They can track your data. They can track your locations. Everything you're doing right now is actually being tracked and stored and bought and sold right now. That data is very, very valuable. So you actually have companies that are making tons of money selling your data, and also companies are buying that data. And what they do with that data, Pete, is they actually use a lot of it for voter analytics so that they can predictively analyze and guess what the election outcomes are going to be in order to figure out better ways to influence elections and to target voters. But it's also scary because we don't even know to what degree they're able to actually manipulate our elections with that information. If you think about it, with that movie 2000 Mules, we saw how the Truth of Vote people, they had purchased the cell phone ping geolocation tracking data from the cell phone companies, which, for you guys that don't know, these companies, they just sell the data, okay? So any company can get it. And they were able to use that data to then see that mules who were harvesting and stuffing ballots in mail-in drop boxes were visiting these mail-in drop boxes multiple times a day at all hours of the night. And so that's what they were able to do with this data after the fact, right? But what about the companies that have lifetime analytics and lifetime access to that information? They know exactly where your phone is, so they can tell who has come in contact with a mail-in drop box for early voting. They can tell who has come within a certain feet of the polling locations. They know before midnight on election night who has voted and who has not voted. And they can already predict who's likely to vote for the Democrat candidate or the Republican candidate. That's something that they actually had on lock pretty well as early as 2012. The Obama campaign did some of the most expansive voter analytics research, and they really compiled massive amounts of information from the voter rolls as well as from social media companies, and they had predicted and were able to know who voted for Obama. So out of the 78 million people that have voted for Barack Hussein Obama, they knew exactly who those people were. You know, people oftentimes will say, oh, well, we shouldn't have voter ID because we're worried about our privacy, right? Well, we're all just giving our privacy anyway to where they already know who you voted for because you said who you voted for near your phone, or you posted about it on social media, or they've done behavioral analytics on you to know your personality type, to know what you are likely to vote like. So it's actually very alarming and scary just how much they know about people. They're studying us like we are some kind of animals on National Geographic, Pete. I kid you not. They actually have digital anthropologists and digital ethnographers who, you know, anthropologists were people who used to go study tribal activity, right? They would, like, National Geographic trying to go study people and their tribal behaviors. Now they actually have these people studying online activities and social media activities, learning them so that they can figure out ways to psychologically move people and control people. There was actually a psychological study that was conducted on Facebook, and they targeted 700,000 users' accounts. And what they were doing was they targeted them with negative content and posts in their social media feeds. So they actually have neural networks that are picking and choosing what you're seeing in your social media feed. So they can actually cater that in order to psychologically influence your mental and emotional state of being. So what they were able to conclude with this study was that if they gave you negative posts, negative feeds, and targeted you, that then those users subsequently would post more negative posts and write comments more negatively in response. So they proved overall that they are very, very effective at psychologically influencing people with these social media technologies. And so you have to think, like, we know who has the power and control over most of these social media companies, and most of them are politically left-leaning. You have these Silicon Valley leftists who act like tyrants and want to censor speech, and they have some of the most advanced AI at their fingertips, and they work with psychologists to actually to directly affect your state of your mental health, and in order to actually target individuals for election influence operations. So, you know, we're definitely going to be talking a lot about this subject in the documentary Big Data is Watching You. And, you know, many people, I think, when they see this information and where it's sourced from and whatnot, they are going to be blown away, because you are being targeted with sophisticated targeting technology that was actually developed by the military for their drone programs. So, but instead of being targeted with a smart bomb via a drone, you're being targeted with a smart ad via advertisements online. So, you know, people get wrapped up in social media censorship, which is a really big thing. And I think a lot of conservatives have gotten the bad end of the stick with social media censorship. I know I've had my accounts demonetized. I've been shadow banned. I know you have been banned off of several platforms, Pete. But obviously, that's a really big issue. But one of the biggest issues I think out there right now is actually data collection and what they are doing with the data. And one of the things they're doing with that data, which is actually a really big deal, is that data, all of our data that's being collected, is being used to build and create these AI programs. If you don't know much about AI, AI has jumped massively in just a few years in their technological advancements.
Have you experimented with some of the new platforms that are out there, like the ChatGPT and the OpenAI? Have you experimented with that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen how ChatGPT, when you ask it a question like, oh, can you write a poem about Trump? It'll say, no, I can't engage in political bias, yada, yada. And if you ask it to write a poem about Joe Biden, it will then write the most cheesy pro-Biden poem you can imagine. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of damage actually being done to these AI programs in general, because they're software engineers who are programming and coding them have their own built-in bias, and that bias is heavily left-leaning on average. And some of the scary things about AI, though, I mean, they have literal AI avatars now that look just like a person. I mean, you would have a hard time not seeing, okay, you could trick many people, right? If you had an AI avatar, which could appear in a video talking, many people might think, oh, this is a real person talking to me. So what they've already been doing is they've been developing AI avatars for news reporter positions. And in China, they actually have already implemented some AI avatars to deliver the news to their people. So you wouldn't have to worry about, if you're a big mainstream media company, you wouldn't have to worry about your reporters going rogue and blowing the whistle on you if you're doing unethical things, because you might just instead in the future have AI reporters. They have AI writers now that can actually write articles. Most people, if they read the articles that these AIs are writing, they would not be able to tell that it was written by an AI. And they've already began using these AI writers heavily in the financial and data writing article industry. So graphic art, you know, people are putting graphic art into these AI generators, and, you know, singers, radio personalities, they have AI that can literally mirror anyone's voice. So you might think that you're listening to, say, Pete Santilli or even Joe Rogan, and it's not them. You have, you know, even Pete, did you hear about the AI porn generators that they have now and some of the controversies around that?
Wow.
This is terrifying. So,
a porn generator?
Yes. So there are creeps out there on the internet that have been targeting young women who are like social media influencers or social media personalities. They've been taking their photos or videos and putting them into these new AI porn generators. And it actually, the AI will put images and videos of these girls' faces, and it'll look like they're actually in porn. And then the bad actors will just spread them all over the internet, and it's actually causing, you know, it's causing a lot of drama where you have these young girls melting down emotionally. So these are some new vulnerabilities that I don't think many people actually anticipated or thought about, that this would be an issue, right? And now we have to think twice about, well, all the pictures we put up on social media, whether or not it was a good idea to let your kids post pictures on social media. So what other vulnerabilities down the road are we also going to run into that we did not anticipate?
Can I give you an example? Oh, my goodness, Millie. In the short segment that we have, I'm going to go to the top of the hour here, and then we'll take the break. Nathan, so we're gonna push pause on the break. Here's my first question to you. This is such a huge topic. How long is the documentary?
It is about an hour and 40 minutes long.
Now tell me how you guys had to fight to get all that information into an hour and 45 minutes. Was it almost impossible? Because it's such a huge topic.
It is a massive topic. And so it does require a good bit of skill to try to fit all that information in there. But, you know, I think we really touched on some of the most important subjects and the most important parts in different studies and talks that we could find and point to and reference for really the story that we're trying to tell, which is that, you know, you are being spied on and surveilled not only by the government and the NSA and the CIA, but you are being spied on by these private companies, because let's face it, most people don't read the terms and service agreements. They just click click through it. You're using a device now that you gave them permission to spy on you and surveil you. It's pretty bad. In fact, there was actually a story where there was a woman and her husband who were having a private conversation in their home around their Amazon device, those Alexas, and it actually recorded their conversation and sent it to one of the husband's employees. And the employee was like, whoa, he called and said, turn off all your devices recording your conversations and sending them to me and maybe other people. And, you know, they had to get tech support. And sure enough, they found out that, yes, the device was just spontaneously doing this. So, I mean, we don't know what other vulnerabilities things like this can pose. But, you know, when it comes to censorship as well, I mean, they are using AI to further go after content in order to shadow ban it and pull it and immediately remove it off the internet. So they might get even more efficient with censoring and banning content in the future using AI.
You know, I'm thinking through this. I didn't expect to be asking you this, but I think that I know how huge the topic is. I know your work from Shadowgate. We shared You didn't know how much we shared it, but we certainly did. We had it on platforms. It was being taken down like crazy. Great documentary film. That's why I'm real excited about this one. But are you going to be doing, you're going to have to do follow-up visits to really unpack this thing, because I'm sure you've got sections of it that you could literally spend a two-week period covering each particular topic. And I'm going to give you an example. Voting, for instance. And I discovered this because, you know, like Michael Corey, Erickson report, and how I know that they've merged law enforcement and voter data on the servers, you know, through the back door of the 911 system. But I'm going to paint a picture here, and I don't know if this is in your documentary, this technology. They now have the ability. They don't have to manipulate the machines. Like in Arizona, the 2022 election, they could literally find out from your cell phone data, merging all of your profile information. They know that you're a Trump voter because you're on social media. You know, you go to X. I mean, they have all of this information that as soon as that phone exits the house, they know you're a same day voter. They call down to Runbeck and they say, oh my goodness, we have X number of same day voters. Print up X number of ballots. They can do it real time. They know who's out and about moving. They know what precincts to shut down, how many people are standing in line. And they have it almost real time and instantaneous, don't they?
They do. It's pretty scary. I mean, they know exactly who already voted, early voting, who's yet to vote, who didn't vote. And then they can use that in order to know, you know, what ballots to stuff where. They can predict that ahead of time so that they're prepared. So the more data we give them, the more we feed them, the more accurately they can rig elections, predict how we're going to respond to, say, political events, right? So if there's ever any other big 9/11 type events or, say, pandemic events, they predicted how well we respond to that. Now, there actually was, this actually came out in an article, Pete, and we do touch on this in the documentary, how there was studies that were done and conducted during the pandemic in which they were using the data from our phones and our devices and social media in order to track our locations to see who was complying with the lockdowns and who was not. And then they were categorizing and ranking people based on their compliance with the COVID shutdowns and lockdowns. So they knew and were targeting who was, you know, likely to go out when there's a pandemic and who's not. So what does that tell about a personality type? That tells who will resist authority if it gives an order that they don't feel right about, and who will just march lock and step with whatever the authority says. So, you know, they monitor and track our activities, and it's really scary and alarming. You know, we get into the history of the computers and data loggers and, you know, how a lot of this was actually built around developing AI, and how there were a lot of psychological studies and, you know, psychologists surrounding the creation of these computers and wanting to implement them and create, like, you know, Turing machine type things where you could have a conversation with an AI and not be able to tell whether or not it was an AI robot or whether or not it was a person. So they're constantly trying to learn us so they can figure out ways to imitate us, so that they can figure out better ways to control us, but then also figure out better ways to replace us. So, you know, replace us in the job sector, so to speak.
Well, look at what they've done. Like I said, this is such a huge topic. We could literally, and are you planning? I'd like to invite you to come on, because I think over the past several months, we've had really good conversations about what I'm learning and what you guys are learning and what we need to do to inform the public. But I'd like to invite you on a more regular basis to unpack some of these various aspects of what's going on. And here's how I'd like to conclude, because if you can imagine controlling the voting system and predetermining or pre-placing somebody like Joe Biden to lord over us, they ultimately have power and control to continue with acquiring, you know, through this new currency, which is data. There is no regulation or regulatory body or oversight at the political level, because they're all benefiting from it. Republicans and Democrats need the data in order to remain in power and get reelected. It's that vicious, vicious cycle. So we're right now on autopilot. It's like almost digital anarchy, isn't it? Big tech is in control. I mean, I'm not trying to coin these phrases, but it's the best way to describe it. There's no regulatory oversight. No, I mean, what incentive does any Republican or Democrat have to have our data protected as an individual, right?
Right. And what will that do? You know, when you know that all of our U.S. representatives, our politicians are using these devices, having conversations around them, these data companies have a lot of power. I mean, they might have overheard certain conversations. They might have been tracking Representative whoever to a motel with a known escort. I mean, this is information that they could amass in order to have a lot of power and control. But I don't expect our government to actually do much to put a stop to some of this, because actually our government is actually starting to implement and utilize AI. And so one of the things, you know, we've heard a lot about how the left has said that policing is racist, right? One of their solutions to dealing with bias in policing is they're saying, well, we need to have AI making decisions for police officers. So in some states, they've already implemented this AI risk assessment technology where police officers can use AI risk assessment systems in their patrol vehicles, which can alert them or tell them. They'll scan the license plate of the vehicle. It'll come up who the car's registered to. And if that person scans as a high-risk individual, then the police know to go out, guns a-blazing, right? They know to go out and approach the vehicle with a heightened level of security. Now, one of the scary things about these risk assessments, which they did studies on, is that they were flagging people, many people actually, who did not have any prior criminal record. So why were they flagging them, right? Well, they're getting the data from social media, from online posts, online activities, the conversations that are being recorded by all their smart devices, and then the AI is coming to that conclusion on its own. And we don't know what parameters have been set. I mean, who knows if in the future, if Tea Party, just like when the IRS targeted businesses with Tea Party in it, or you know, people who are preppers or people who like guns, how do we know that if you're not pro Second Amendment on social media, that that's going into these policing risk assessments where they're going to come at you with a gun? I mean, these are things that we need to actually talk about. We've talked a lot about election machines and how it's not right that they don't allow us to inspect the code on these election machines. But I haven't heard anywhere about letting the public inspect the code that they're already using with these AI risk assessment softwares. You know, they're even using the AI risk assessments now for judges to make decisions as to whether or not they're going to let jail inmates out on a PR bond.
Recidivism rate per your profile, you know, and you're Hispanic, you know, or whatever. I mean, and I'm just making any category up. They say, oh, based on what we know, the government knows that based on who you are and what you're all about and what you say online, that, you know, we might as well just hold you indefinitely without due process. That's to the extreme. Millie Weaver, I'm not just saying this. You know how excited I am. I'm like this even off the air. I'm not just doing this, to hype your video. I'm really excited to see this. I haven't seen it. We've had discussions. I've seen your previous one. Tomorrow night, I'm going to be tuning in at Locals. I want to invite everybody to go to millieweaver.locals.com. If you don't mind me pushing everybody there, because I love Locals. Are you gonna have a viewing party or a premiere on Locals?
Yes. Okay. Yes, that's where we're gonna be putting the video. It's gonna be premiered up on Locals. Mm-hmm. So make sure everyone go to Locals, and you could, I think, subscribe, or you could do it where you pay the one time to watch it, and mm-hmm. that actually helps fund my ability to continue to make these awesome documentaries, because really a lot went into this documentary. This is some key information too. And I'm just telling you, your mind is going to be blown when you just see the level of sophistication with these AI technologies and just how they are building a technocracy, how they are building this level of enslavement around us. And there are things that you can do to protect your families. So definitely watch the film, guys, and share it. Share it, please.
The best defense with all this stuff they're doing behind the scenes is to know what they're doing behind the scenes. That's the best defense. And, you know, are we going to be able to stop them? I don't think so. But I'll tell you what, at least we know what to avoid or know what's going on, know what to opt out of. Are we going to be able to completely opt out? Maybe not. But I'll tell you what, my news and this AI technology, they can draft these articles. Shoot, I had a conversation, we'll end on this note, recently. I said, Alex, when you started 20-something years ago and I followed him for decades, I said, imagine now there's computer programs and AI technology that'll draft 100,000 articles with your name on it, disparaging you. How are you going to be able to compete with that? Whereas before, you could actually have your audience, you know, clicking and sharing, you know, the truth. That's what you're up against. You're up against a supercomputer. But Millie, thank you very much for joining me. Will you agree to come on a regular basis to continue this discussion? Because we're going to have to unpack a lot of this stuff as we go.
Absolutely. Yeah. I will definitely come back on. And Pete, what I will say is this, AI is currently the greatest threat to humanity right now.
Oh, yeah.
But this is the funny part, okay? It's like this big, huge monster coming at us. All we have to do is unplug its access to our data and it will crumble. It's feeding on our data. It's learning us through our data. Yes. The second we cut off the data, it's not going to have any new input, any new things to learn. Mm-hmm. And at that point, it's going to be harder for it to try to be used to control us. So if we really want to go after AI, we actually have to go after big data and protect our privacy. We need to protect our Fourth Amendment right.
You know, and the competition, you know, other countries like China, for instance, they have more people. They've got more input data. Their AI technology is naturally going to progress faster than ours because of the sheer number of people doing it. But the competitive thing that's going on is literally accelerating the destruction of humanity. So anyways, Millie, thank you very much for coming on. We're excited to see it. We're going to promote it like crazy. And everybody go to MillieWeaverGotLocals.com. Join me. I'm going to be over there. Deb's going to be over there. We're going to be watching it along with everybody else. Thanks, Millie. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Pete.
Thank you. And listen, if you think I'm a goofball for being so overly excited about Millie Weaver documentaries, yet you haven't seen Shadowgate. And that was an epic, epic video. That's why I can't wait to see this one. This topic is near and dear to my heart.